Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by CallForce. Did you know that over 30% of calls placed to a dental office are not answered? That means 30% of your opportunity is literally missed, guys. It's not being picked up. Your phone is just ringing, or you're not there. You're out to lunch. Maybe you're not, you're with a patient. Something's happening, right? Well, CallForce is a dental-specific company that helps practices pick up the phone when they cannot. So I guess I want you guys to imagine it like this. Pretend you have a fantastic front office, right, who is doing their best to answer the phone calls. They're also checking insurances. You have a fantastic team, right? But you're still missing calls. CallForce is that net to make sure no calls are being missed, right? Whether it's from early morning before you open, or even past 5 p.m. all the way to 8 p.m., right? CallForce is still picking up the phone, so you aren't missing out on these opportunities. CallForce has access to the practice's practice management software and can schedule patients directly in there. And the best part about them is that they only charge whenever they answer the phone on your behalf, right? So to learn more, go to callforce.com or call 801-901-8852. And guys, mention the Dental Marketer podcast for a waived setup fee, okay? Now, I'm going to speak a little bit more about this. It's fantastic, guys, especially if you're a startup, right? And you're like, okay, I have an associateship, right? I work for another practice. I can't pay someone to be at the practice Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, right? I just can't. That's too expensive. We only have maybe 2-3 working production days, and the rest is just I'm paying somebody to be there answering a couple phone calls? No, right? So if you're a startup, go with CallForce. Go with their answering service, guys, because they will literally only charge you every time they answer the phone. So let's just say that one day you got 3 phone calls. You don't have to pay someone to just be there the whole time, right, to answer those 3 phone calls. No, get CallForce, and they'll only charge you for those phone calls. And here's the thing. If you mention the Dental Marketer podcast, right, the answering service, you guys, the original pricing and the setup fee is $299, right? But you guys will get your setup fee waived, and you'll get $100 off of a service, right? So that means you'll get $100 worth of free service at the very beginning. So definitely, guys, there is no risk here. Call them, right? Go to getcallforce.com or call them 801-901-8852. Mention the Dental Marketer podcast to get the $299 setup fee waived, and you also get $100 of free service. So go ahead, guys. Go to getcallforce.com or call them at 801-901-8852 and let them know Michael sent you. All right, guys. So I'm super excited for you to listen to this episode. It's with Michael Lomotan and Kevin Rawson. Now, Michael is one of the creators of DSN, the Dental Success Network. And we'll get into that and what it's all about. And Kevin Rawson is one of the creators of Divergent Dental. And they both also are actually partners in Divergent Dental as well, Michael and Kevin. So really excited to present to you guys this episode, Brilliant Minds. At the same time, we were also recording this at Voices of Dentistry. So super excited, like I said, to introduce you guys to this episode. A couple things we talked about, and this one's really interesting. Like, so for example, and this comes a lot, especially me being admin for a couple Facebook groups and moderators, we get a lot of people who send us things like, hey, is it okay if you post this on my behalf? Can I ask this question? I don't know if I should ask this. What do you think about that, right? So I want to ask you guys, have you ever wanted to post freely on something like Facebook in an open forum, right? Or have you ever been afraid to post? Maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to get too many marketers or coaches or consultants answering me, or maybe my employer or some of the employees that I work with are in this group and I'm afraid to ask because they might find out I'm starting a practice or something, right? Well, that's what the Dental Success Network is where you are able to post freely. It's just a bunch of elite members like yourself wanting to increase their goals, their practice, and it's all dentists, right? So they do a very, very heavy vetting, screening process where you have to present your license and so forth, right? It's super cool. And Michael speaks much, much more about the Dental Success Network. We also talk about what is Divergent Dental and how it will change the way you run your practice, guys. Kevin is brilliant too, and he lets us know the numbers we should be looking at, because we can get information overload, right? Like, let's just say you get the software, you get a tons of analytics and information, but what's the point if you just read it and then that's it? You don't know what you're looking for, what needs to improve, what needs to stay the same, decrease, and so forth, right? Something that I like that we talked about is the attrition, right? The attrition rate. Are you bringing in tons of new patients but somehow not growing? How is your attrition, right? We'll find out more about that as we listen into this episode. Another thing I like that Michael speaks on is too many new patients take up chair time that your unscheduled treatment cannot take. And that's true. Sometimes we're like, so Michael's wife is a dentist, right? And sometimes we focus on like, okay, we need so many new patients. We need tons and tons of new patients. But like, where's our unscheduled treatment going, right? Are we just leaving that behind? How do we know how much unscheduled treatment we have? Are you even on top of it? That's what we need to figure out. And if you're not on top of it, that's money sitting, right? So figure out how much unscheduled treatment you have. And one way you can do that is, we'll find out in this episode, but through Divergent Dental. And we talk about so many more metrics, so many more topics, and how to track your case acceptance and reappointment rate, how to ask the right questions, why you don't want 100% pre-appointment rate, what's the number you're looking for. We talk about so much in this episode. So guys, I'm super excited to bring you this episode. Here is Michael and Kevin. Okay, so we are at Voices of Dentistry, and I am with Michael.
Yeah, we're gonna butcher this one, right, Mike? There's too many vowels in my name. Lomotan, just exactly like it sounds.
There's so many, yeah. Lomotan. And then Kevin.
Kevin Rawson, yes.
Kevin Rawson, how you guys doing?
We're good. Good to meet you here.
No, good. Thank you guys so much for being here.
We are sitting in a tent.
I know. This is the local med tent. We're next to the Dentalpreneur.
Dentalpreneur podcast.
They're the ones laughing.
Yeah. Yep. Overlooking Alan Mead and Jason Lipscomb, a big stand-up of them.
Yeah,
I looked over my shoulder. I'm like, oh.
A little intimidating.
That's a big head.
Yeah. A little intimidating.
It looks nice, though. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I should have something like that.
I really wish that they were kind of facing toward each other, gazing in each other's eyes.
That'd be even better.
That'd be so funny.
Somebody needs to Photoshop that and make that happen. Right.
I know. They Photoshop so many things. Nobody's done that. Jeez.
Just bring him a little closer.
So Michael is co-founder of the Dental Success Network, and Kevin is founder of Divergent Dental.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So, I don't know. There's a lot to talk about, right? So, you run Making of a Dental Startup, Facebook group, right? And obviously, you're the dental marketer. And then, why don't we talk? We're going to shift this conversation around quite a bit, right?
Yeah,
so, I actually got questions for you.
Ooh. Okay.
So, when you talk about ground marketing was true to, I mean, it's another word for guerrilla marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like and I'm going to date myself, but kind of going old school days when I used to club promote, walking around the street with flyers. That was
what
we
did. You were a club promoter?
Yes, I was.
Dang.
If there are any dentists out there that are from the Bay Area, there's Climax Entertainment. We did parties in LA and San Francisco. It was a lot of fun, right? So I'm going to date myself, right?
I
we're old school, right? So
I know who that is.
So shout out to all the DJs we work with. But that's really what it was. It was ground marketing because at the time, we had no real digital ways to promote, right? Websites were just kind of getting underway, and they were still being coded in HTML by hand.
And this was before text messaging, too.
This is, yes, before text messaging. We'd pager message each other and say that there was a party. God, I'm so old. But that's what we did. But we would spend money on flyers, and at the time, it was like 10 cents per flyer and walk around and promote kind of incessantly. Mm. So, you know, how did you get that idea to say, look, let's step away from digital marketing and go old school a little bit?
Yeah. So like in the sense for me, it's kind of like, and I'm going to give you guys an example of how I picture ground marketing is. Because a lot of the times we talk about guerrilla marketing, or we think ground marketing is like, oh yeah, just go into a practice, give them your information, and then you hope they give you a call, right? But hope doesn't really pay the bills, right? So what you got to do is kind of, let's just say, like, what's a business that's near you guys?
I'm in Tech Central. Right. So,
yeah.
don't know. I'm literally next to Google, Aeris, Qualcomm.
Yeah, like, okay, not many people are next to Google.
Really bad examples.
So Nebraska Furniture Mart is one that's close to us. I'm in Texas, but Nebraska Furniture Mart is like the world's largest furniture store that Warren Buffett actually owns. So
that's a
business close by. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Texas?
Yeah, in Texas, yeah. Oh, world's largest furniture store is in Texas, owned by Warren Buffett.
I thought it was Gallery Furniture.
Not anymore. This place is insane.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so like any place like that. Let's just say, okay, something that more people can relate to, like a bank, right? Like a bank. Citibank, Wells Fargo, all that stuff, right? Sometimes we kind of wonder, or we see a Starbucks, we see the furniture store and all these things, and we're like, how do I get those employees to come in here, right? But without having to go and do all these things. So literally, like if it's a bank, ground marketing is more sophisticated in the way, okay, I'm going to walk in there, right? With nothing in my hand, maybe just a cup of coffee or whatever, and then I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Do you guys have any information? Can I have some of you guys' information? And then you're going to be like, yeah, why? Do you have an appointment? What is this for, right? And then I'm going to say, oh, no, you know what? I'm the dental office, like right down the street from you guys, like right down the street, and I wanted some of your information so I can give it to our patients for payment options. They're going to be like, yeah, definitely. Let me give you some information. Let me transfer you to a loan officer. So now the ball's in your court, right? Then once they give you the information, you're going to easily say like, okay, cool. Is it okay if I ever give you guys some of our information too? Nobody ever says like, no, I don't want your stuff. Just take mine, right? They're going to say, yeah, come on in. Give us some of your stuff. So you come back, give them some of your stuff. You drop off a sign-up sheet and say, hey, look, what the dentist and I wanted to do for you guys this week or whatever is give you guys an incentive, right? Free whitening, free exams, whatever. And just put your name and number and I personally will give you a call. And then from that point on, they're like, cool, yeah. When can I come back to pick up the sign-up sheet? Come back next week. And now you have, like, something working for you, right? A sign-up sheet. But do you see how, like, you never spent any money doing that? Yeah, you didn't drop off a gift basket?
Quid pro quo type of relationship.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's just one tactic. But ground marketing involves, like, setting up booths, going, doing presentations, lunch and learns, seminars, all these other things, right? So that's just, like, one little way how you can start getting new patients tomorrow or, like, getting leads tomorrow. But...
I think it's a good way to, especially, you know, we're all surrounded by digital marketing. I think at this point we tend to ignore the stuff that pops up. Like for our office, we've actually now focused on geofencing marketing.
We're
only showing advertisers within a specific addresses, and it's really cool. And as I look at the reports, we definitely over index where on certain buildings, well, they'll literally take up 30% of the click-through rates just because we're going to target them where we know that they're going to be on their phones or on their computers doing stuff as opposed to a wide reach where, you know, no one's going to drive in 15 miles to come through our practice.
Are you doing Google or Facebook or
Google?
Okay.
Yeah.
Or
so,
Yelp,
I guess? Facebook's great too. No, actually, well, Yelp is always going to be geofenced regardless based on your locale, right? Your GPS location. But it's literally saying, it's a Google ad that says, hey, only show this ad at, you know, 2020 Main Street. That's it. It only shows in that building. And yeah, so it does it based on geolocation of your phone, but also IP address, because we all know the IP address is going to be marked towards a physical address. So look, there's no hiding anymore these days, but we found it to be effective because we're not wasting money outside of an area that we don't think people are going to come in from. And you know, let's face it, while people are at work, people are on their phones, people are surfing and...
Yeah, you're right. Like in the parking lot or anything like that, they're like, oh,
yeah,
snap.
Yeah, so it's something that we did recently, but we have to supplement with some guerrilla marketing because it's not something we're so bad with marketing. Jeez, we spent like less than 2% last year on marketing. And part of it is because we have no free anything. And it's just not who we are. We have nothing to fish for.
You don't have to give free stuff either, yeah. A lot of our students never give anything for free. They just... You'd be surprised how many people are looking for you just as much as you're looking for them, right?
Right.
But when dentistry comes up and then they see you, they're like, oh, you know what? Actually, I've been looking for a dentist. I wanted to see about this.
Right.
Invisalign or a second opinion or whatever, right? And that's where you can be available. So, talk to us about more of that and Dental Success Network.
So Dental Success Network is probably, I guess, one of the fastest growing sort of groups that nobody's ever heard of. And it's done by design. Right. So a lot of it is actually invitation only.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to summarize, but I would summarize it as crowdsource coaching. We all know to get your own consultant, to get your own coach is drastically expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And what's different about this community, it's literally 99% dentists. The exceptions are going to be folks like Reese Harper and Jonathan Van Horn and, you know, Corey Corfiatis and actually myself, right, because I set up the back end. But other than that, it's really dentists giving each other advice without the noise from, you know, I get it. We're all you have a business to run and it's without the noise of vendors coming in and trying to sell. There's literally no selling in this community. But on top of that, there's an online community. We actually have two physical locations. We built one in Scottsdale, Arizona, where we have a CT in there, and we're going to be bringing in chairs. We're going to build like a mini mock dental office where you can come in and get training, both from a practice management as well as the clinical side. Mm-hmm. So we're booked out the year, and you can find various CE offline or live CE events within that building. We're building another one in Indianapolis out of Dr. David Bender's facility. So he's got a big auditorium that he built out, and that's also going to be used as the Midwest base for clinical and practice management CE. We have online CE, and then we have vendor discounts. So, you know, we're not a group buying group. We're not a group buying organization by any stretch of the imagination. But since we have so many members at this point, the natural progression is, can I get a discount as a group? So we were able to negotiate, you know, DSO level pricing with practice financing companies, right? So Green Sky, or we have a deal with like Legwork and Local Med, some of the more familiar names that you see. Mm-hmm. With Henry Schein, they're a key partner as well. So the whole MO is that we take no kickbacks. Like Divergent's a great partner, so you get a discount on Divergent Dental if you're a member of DSN, but no kickbacks. And I think, you know, part of the reason we did that is we wanted to offer products that are not skewed because the person Bias. Who's promoting it is being fed, but more or less, if there's room for a kickback, that means there's room for better pricing. So we wanted that to get passed on to our members. So if you were thinking about the full life cycle of what we are, we have, of course, we have our crowdsource online coaching. We have our offline CE that you can attend, you know, at two physical locations. We have our buying group, and then we have, I think that kind of centers it. We're basically being full circle at a reasonable price. So, you know, you don't have to pay a ton of money to a consultant, but basically learn from your peers. And one of the things that differentiates is because we're not public like Facebook, it's a mitigated risk of potential employees seeing what you're posting, especially as dental startups. One of the biggest, everyone talks about how can you make money? What can I do to improve the practice? How can I market? But nobody talks about the downside risks. How do I prevent lawsuits? How do I prevent employee litigations? How do I prevent that? Or how do I build wealth? What do I do with the money that I'm making? To talk about that in an open forum where you don't know who those members are is very
risky. Yeah.
Whereas in order to be part of the DSN, you are vetted out. You have to fill out an application. Your license is checked. You make sure everybody's in good standing. And because it's a much smaller community, everybody knows each other. Mm-hmm. And that's who we are. And we are founded, you know, obviously by Mark Costas, who we all know. The Dental Hacks were involved in the start. David Malole, the Relentless Dentist. So it was really like, how can we take what's already great information that's out there, but try to normalize, condense it, and keep it in a smaller community that's a lot more safe.
I like that because startups, and like you said, I mean, we see it all the time. We're in the making of a dental startup, right? How many questions do they have?
Yeah.
Tons, right? Hypothetical ones, ones that maybe they're never going to experience, but it's just playing it safe. You know, you want to ask all these questions, but how many times is it like, okay, there's two things that happen. Sometimes they're afraid to ask only because what are their employers there too, right?
Yep.
Or somebody's also there that is an employee, and they're like, oh my God, I might get fired. Or the second thing is, how many times does like a coach or consultant answer for them really quick?
Or and a vendor, sell something, right?
A vendor, and it's like, I want to hear from another dentist. Right. I want to hear from like other colleagues who've experienced this maybe, not from like someone who doesn't even really practice.
And you know, the median sort of income, and I'm not talking about, everyone talks about production, but it's actually $1.6 million in DSN. It's very high performing practices.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get skewed by guys that are going to make $10 million a year and the guys that are going to make $200,000 a year, the startups. But it's a very successful group of people. And imagine just trying to get feedback from people basically who are like-minded, but also just not crowded. It's because it's quiet. They know what they share on there is not going to be posted anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole MO. And actually, Kevin is part of our faculty too as well on the analytics side because he's a geek, right? With affectionately speaking.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to us about Divergent then.
Yeah, so my background before I started Divergent, office manager in a dental practice. My dad's been in dentistry for over 40 years. And when I came in, I was already looking at a lot of numbers, but my day would consist of at least 15 minutes three or four times a day. I'd have to run different reports and update different spreadsheets and get all this data that I needed so we can know exactly what was going on. And I was okay doing it because I liked having the result, but I was also very frustrated because I'm like, this is a computer. The data's there. Why is it taking me so long to get this? And then, oops, I put a 2 instead of a 1 in there. Now my numbers are wrong because I am a human and I make mistakes. So I was looking for a way to not only simplify the process, but not only on top of that, once I simplified it, I'm like, okay, now that instead of spending an hour a day, I spend 10 seconds a day to, you know, click a button when I got it going. Now, okay, what else can I look at now that I've got this time? So when I made the decision, though, I didn't want to look at everything, I realized. You know, I didn't need to know, you know, how many sealants did we place on second molars today. I didn't care about that stuff. I wanted to know, here's the big 5 to 7 stats I want to look at every day, and that's all I'm going to look at every day. I'm not going to have the temptation to go on a rabbit trail and look at every possible stat we can look at.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, just had the need, figured out how to make it simple and readable and have the guideline of how does this work in a local private dental practice, you know. It's not anything against the corporate world, and I think that we can all learn a lot from corporate dentistry from a business analytics perspective. But everything I've done with Divergent has been from the lens of, can the average dental professional use this? You know, it's not just for the geeks like me. It's, I have people, I don't want to name the names, but I think of coworkers when I make any changes to things. Like, will this person will this person know, A, what this means, B, how to use it? You know, those are things
you built
I keep
it for
my,
your dad.
I built it for
right?
my dad.
And,
well,
yeah.
And partly for me. I like, work hard to be lazy is what, part of what it is. I work really, really hard so
say,
I can...
What is it? That's the thing. If you want something done faster, give it to a lazy man because they'll find a way to, to streamline it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, there's times that like the thing that took 10 seconds, I spent... I probably 100 hours figuring out how to take something that was taking me an hour a day to nail it down where I would just like click the button twice. So I mean, that's what it took me a long time to develop that. But the reality was I knew the value of knowing your numbers first and foremost. I knew that that was important. So that was the guiding principle for me. But then on top of that, I realized when you don't spend the time just building the data, then you can actually process the data. And on top of that, if you're not looking at every, like, 100 stats, like, for example, a Patterson rep once told me that Eaglesoft can run 247 different reports from their software. And they were saying that as, like, a selling point. And I'm like, well, that's a good talking point, but who in the world has time to look at 247 different reports? Yeah. And for me, I'm overwhelmed by that. I'm like, I want to look at 2 reports or one report. One report this time, one report this time. And then I've got a life to live. You know, I got 3 kids. I want to, you know, shoot my bow and arrow or whatever.
That's me, right?
Yeah, or, you know, you whatever your whatever your hobby is at the time. You know, you want to live your life. And so that's the thing about with Divergent or anything that you're looking at. I don't think that you should spend every waking moment being a geek analyzing the numbers. I think you should really have the numbers guide you so you make informed decisions in your practice.
Right. And, you know, I can kind of chime in on that, right? So, Kevin, you guys know this stuff. We're talking sort of offline, but I literally just retired from a nearly 20-year career in biotech. And so right prior to doing this, I was basically doing bioinformatics, which is a really geeky way of saying big data analytics for biotech pharma companies. So you're really looking at real-world evidence, clinical trial data, chemical data, biomarker, biological data, and genomic data to basically find out, is this drug going to work? Like, how can I minimize like cohort analysis to say, what's the fastest way to develop this drug? When you think about the data that you have to look at, it's crap tons of data.
Yeah.
And we use really advanced tools like Spotfire or some of these data analytic tools on top of big data lake technologies. Anyways, sort of the clients that I would deal with, you'd have, let's just say my biggest client had 6,000 analysts, so data analysts, and they would mine tons of data, anywhere from financial data to clinical trial data to chemical data. But at the end of the day, you can look at a dashboard that literally has, you know, 20 tabs deep, but the executives would say, the C-level executives say, take that data, condense it, give it to me in a PowerPoint format. So you scratch your head. You're like, well, why don't you just look at it on a web player and do it yourself?
Yeah.
Well, you're busy running a company. They don't want to learn how to use a new tool. And like for me, because I had access to these powerful predictive analytic tools, I laid it. And you know, when we met early on, I overlaid it on top of Open Dental. And he kind of laughed. Kevin kind of laughed. He's like, well, yeah, it's nice. And and I was like, well, it is nice. Yeah, look what I can do. I can slice and dice. I can do this. But I gave it to my wife, and my wife's a dentist. She's like, okay, well, that's going to take me longer to figure out how to use that tool than it will just to give me the information.
Yeah.
So literally tail between my legs, I called him up and said, hey, can I get these PDF reports?
So, on the flip side of that, just as an insight on the personal side, when we had that conversation, I was sitting at Chick-fil-A with my kids playing on the playground. So, yeah, that's part of why I was saying, oh, I was like making sure my kids weren't killing each other. But that was part of my response there. It was really nice, but the whole point of that is what you can do, there's so many tools out there that you can spend thousands of dollars on or get for free, that you can get whatever you can dream of. But the reality is, I think part of the challenge, especially in startup practices, is knowing what you should look at. Because every software out there, you can look at tons of data, and there are some things that are true for every practice that you should look at, new production, collection, new patients. But a lot of practices don't look at things that everyone should look at, too, like attrition. Well, a startup, they're not going to look at attrition for a while. But, you know, and every practice will have slightly different things that they're going to need to focus on.
Talk about that, though. Talk about attrition.
Yeah, so the attrition thing. So I've got a customer in the South. It's a really highly productive practice. They collected over $5 million in 2018. And they have more than a dozen operatories. We'll just say it's between 12 and 20. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't want to identify who it is specifically. Oh, well, they reached out to me because they wanted to figure out something. They had 2,136 new patients last year. So you hear that number, like, man, they are growing like crazy. That's your first response when you hear that. So their question was, hey, can you just kind of give us some feedback if you can see anything? We kind of feel like we should be growing in our production, but with the number of new patients we're having, but we're just not seeing, we've kind of plateaued. So I did some quick analysis, and actually Mark Costa's podcast, we talked about this as well, but one of the first things that jumped out was they had over 6,000 attritions last year. And attrition means they had patients that had not been in 18 months. And so I look at that, it's like, well, here's your answer. You know, from a marketing perspective, I don't know the number they're spending, but they're spending a ton of money on marketing, and they're bringing in new patients. They're doing really good at that, but they're not doing a good job at retaining a lot of those patients. And part of that was the type of offer. You think we mentioned earlier about not doing free things. They were offering a free exam and x-rays, and that's going to bring in a certain type of patient that is like a one and done thing. You know, they haven't been to the dentist for 20 years and now they're going to come and they're like, oh, I can't afford that. See you later. You know, that's about what you're going to get sometimes. Yeah. So, but yeah, knowing your attrition numbers, like from a marketing perspective, you know, there's a time, like the ground marketing doesn't cost you anything, but it's not all about how many new patients you're getting in the door.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to grow in your practice. I mean, I know a lot of practices that they're technically shrinking in patient base size, but they're still growing in their production and collection.
Like us?
Yeah, like you. Yeah, for sure.
Talk about that. How are you guys making that happen?
Well, one, we were starting to drop insurance companies that were referring us patients.
I'm going to interject. Michael's wife is the dentist. So
yeah,
I don't think we mentioned that earlier.
My wife is a dentist. She shall remain unnamed, not hard to find, but I don't know if she wants to be, you know, kind of like put out there. But you know, we last year, and it was a, so going into 2018, back in 2017, we were hypothesizing, well, do too many new patients take up valuable chair time that your unscheduled treatment plan cannot fill themselves, right? If you have an $8,000 treatment plan and they can't get on the schedule because the new patient that's going to be paying you $200 is taking up that spot, what do you do?
Yeah.
So we made the cognitive decision to drop some insurance companies that were referring us patients that were, I'm going to say, let's say they weren't ideal reimbursement rates, but we also knew it was going to eliminate nearly half the new patients that were coming in that month. We're a PPO practice. And so we did it anyways. And we had about 24.7 to be exact, over all the course of the year, drop in new patients. We cut the number of days that were worked by about 10%. We were missing a hygienist for, 2 months? And we lost our associate, but yet we were flat. So if you were to trend it out, though, it's actually a win because you do less to make the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You now have your baseline as to where you need to go. Like, what's going to happen now? Can I look at the metrics and say, what are my numbers going to look like? Based on the, well, we say lifetime value, but really the 6 month value of a patient. If I were to add X number of new patients for a limited exam and new patient exam, you can start to work the numbers backwards and say, okay, I'm going to finally spend money on marketing. We spent 2% on marketing last year, paltry. If I put a little bit more, what's that going to bring us? And now we've dropped some insurance companies that we just felt were less than ideal. So it was a loss and a win at the mm-hmm. same time. Part of it was the chair times opened up to allow us to book the patients that were waiting for weeks to get their work done.
Do you have Divergent Dental?
Yeah, of course.
So for you guys, what's like the most important metrics you're always... What was a metric that you didn't know was important until you're like, oh, snap, this is what's happening?
That's a good question. I'm almost the wrong person to ask because I, you know, even prior to this, I was digging into it. If I were to say the most important metric to us was perioprophy, mm-hmm. understanding, mm-hmm. you know, we have a rule in the office, no bloody prophies, right? So you want to make sure that you're educating the patient, keeping it, because hygiene ends up being your funnel into the actual practice management side or the restorative side. So understanding that, to making sure that your hygienist is not doing a bloody prophy and keeping up with what CDC standards are, about 50%. And I mean, you know, our numbers, we're pretty high when it comes to perioprophy. I think we over index, but a lot of it is education. That's something I would have never thought would be such an important metric to follow, because hygiene is your moneymaker. Everybody focuses on whatever production and the basic numbers, but you can't look at metrics as a one and done. You have to look at it as an overall picture, as a trend analysis, but also what kind of questions are you going to ask of your data? And that's more important. Asking the right questions of your data is almost more important than actually looking at what the data means.
Wow, that's good. What about you?
Well, on that scene, so I mean, I started Divergent Dental, so I can't really think of anything before. But obviously, with growing into the marketplace and getting feedback, the thing that really jumps out to me that I would say the majority of private practices are falling short on is that perio percentage. I mean, other than that, the two that I'll just mention briefly that you really have a high impact when you're not tracking is your case acceptance and your reappointment rate. Case acceptance has a like kind of real immediate impact on your production and collection. Reappointment rate will have like a longer tail. Reappointment rate meaning you get them to schedule their next appointment. You know, how good are you do that? Because if you're not tracking that, you're going to think, oh, everybody's scheduling their next appointment. But when you really look at that number, if you're not tracking it, it's probably in the high 60s to low 70s. That's what I normally see for people that just jump on and didn't have a clue what it was before. Whereas a healthy number is right around 80 to 85% is a really healthy number of patients who, when they are done with their appointment, you have your next appointment on the book. You don't want 100%. That's actually not the goal, because then you're pre-appointing people who are going to break the appointment. They owe you money, or you know they're not going to, you know, there's just reasons you don't pre-appoint certain people. Right. But yeah, on the perio side, the average I've seen right now is typically right on 7%. 7% of the, and what I mean by that is, in the hygiene department, out of 100 adult patients that are being seen, only 7 are having some sort of perio services provided, which is way, way low. Way low.
So how do you increase that?
Oh, actually, one, better diagnosis and also better education of the patient. So, you know, there's a whole thing about oral systemic connections, right? Understanding what's the cost of inaction by not treating your perio. And I think far too many times people let them go. We're a little bit aggressive in our office in the sense that if they refuse perio and they say just do what the insurance covers, we actually dismiss them as a patient.
Ooh.
We do that. One, it's a liability because it's a neglect, right? If a person has bad perio disease and you continue to treat them nominally, in my opinion, according to TDIC, who's our malpractice carrier, they said that's neglect, let them go, which is a big shocker. And that was in part of our high attrition. We just said, thanks for the memories. I'm sorry if you're not going to trust us.
I was going to ask you, how do you let them go, though? Like, do you just say, you don't care about your teeth buy, or?
It's done a lot more. You have to shape each conversation per patient, but understand that, hey, if you're not going to trust us, and if you're, you know, maybe we're not the right fit for you, you should probably find somebody else.
And here's the thing about that. Like, that sounds harsh and it sounds cruel, but that's actually the best thing for the patient, because you're still educating them at that point. Because what they need is the periodontal services, and they're letting their insurance plan, not just the carrier, but the plan, dictate their care as opposed to what their actual oral health needs are. So, yeah, it sounds cruel to kick them out, but that is the best thing to do if that's indeed what they need.
But what if it's like, okay, I have no money. Like, I really have no money, and all I can afford is what my insurance covers.
Well, look, that's a call that each practice has to make, you know.
Does that happen a lot for you guys or no?
No, I mean, not really. We happen to be in a pretty, you know, I'd say white collar.
Well, let's just say, okay, let's just say this. Like a full mouth quadrant of scaling and root plating, round figure might be $1,000, give or take a few hundred dollars. Okay, so, mm-hmm. I mean, it could be less, could be more, depending on the size of the practice. So we're not talking numbers that, like, is going to bankrupt many people. Yes, some people, a lot of people can't afford that. I acknowledge that that would mm-hmm. be a stretch for a lot of people. But $1,000 is an attainable number for most people in North America. If they need to figure out a way.
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like if for Perio specifically, I mean, it's not a huge life-changing number that they come with. And on top of that, I mean, if you come up with some payment plans for them, you might be able to do that. No,
right.
You know, not everybody likes to go down that route. But the reality is, it is a way that if you really want to provide the service for them, I mean, give them to pay a third up front. And if they skip out on the rest, you've probably covered your overhead at least at that point if you get the third payment down front.
And, you know, you also have to look, honestly, some of the patients that turn it down, I mean, they're on their, you know, $1,000 iPhones and driving away in their Teslas.
Mm.
It's where are they prioritizing? Yeah. Actually, you know, we've had patients, hey, I got to spend money on the vet.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is people just don't prioritize it. So it's really about how can you educate the patient so it becomes a priority to them. Again, it goes back to the cost of inaction. What's this going to cost you 5 years from now? Imagine you start to have bone loss and you have to have an implant. That's going to cost you way more than just doing an SRP.
Right.
That's good. That's good to bring that up in every conversation. And I like what you said, like you have to tailor it to every, because a lot of people always want like one script, one and done, and then that's it. Right. This is how we do it. This is how you do it. Okay, cool. But no, every patient is different. You got to tailor it to...
So, you know, this, and I'm going to divert a little bit, but we always see on the forums, how do I reduce patient cancellations?
Oh, yeah.
First of all, there's no answer for that.
Okay.
None.
Mm-hmm.
And
everyone has cancellations.
Everybody has cancellations, right?
Or they're not entering it correctly in their software. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
But it's also a cultural thing. We all shop a certain way. We love convenience. You know, that's just the way things are these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could criticize but also offer advice. You know, before it was, well, put a penalty clause. Well, that doesn't work anymore because you have to be aware of reviews, right? So, you know, what is the right answer? I don't have it. I think it's just, you know, hopefully the patient cares enough to keep their appointment, understands that you're spending time, the doc is spending time out of their day to reserve it for them, that they'll reciprocate that back. But
let me know if you think this is a good idea or not. But you know how, like, sometimes we say, oh, let's penalize the person who didn't show up. But what if you, like, rewarded the good people? Like, maybe create some type of, like, you know, like, those programs, like, oh, I swipe my credit card, I use my credit card this many times, membership, now I can buy this, or I can get this free flight, or whatever, right?
I'm laughing because I actually did that with one patient just as a joke.
Yeah.
His daughter was coming in for ortho every month, and like he was in the office like twice a month for some reason, for something. So I said, I'm gonna make a frequent shopper card. So I just got a piece of paper and like did like this pretend hole punch. And then after he came in like five times, I gave him like a $10 Starbucks card. And it was just a joke for one patient. So I've never done anything like that, but that was he kept coming back.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, what if we did that? Like, but do obviously better, like, hey, here's an iPad, right? For like actually keeping for a year. Your whole treatment. I don't know. I have a counter.
Like, so I have a counter argument to that.
Okay.
One of the things, and this is just my opinion, right? By all means, don't take this as Bible or, you know, commandments here. But I also think dentistry is kind of going down the route of being a retail organization by doing those awards, you know, five stars. It's really weird. Like, if I go see my physician, I don't get a punch out card, an award for keeping my appointment.
Yeah.
The penalty is I can't get an appointment for 2 months. Or whatever, right? And I have a friend who's a Mohs dermatologist. Mohs dermatologist is kind of cream of the crop dermatology. I know that, or I was talking to him about it, if a patient misses their appointment, they have to wait 3 months to get into the next one. That, to me, the scarcity principle that actually Dr. Phelps talks about a lot, that's actually what keeps people, your schedule full, scarcity.
Mm-hmm,
but the more that you can say, walk in any time, you know, do this, do that. Well, that value of scarcity no longer applies because they know that they can come in at any time. Mm-hmm. But like for us, like I don't want to do that kind of award mechanism because I don't want to turn our practice into the boba shop down the street that is going to do punch out cards and get a free boba after 10 visits.
Yeah.
This is, at the end of the day, this is a medical practice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right, though. Yeah. If we did start doing that punch out cards or anything, it would totally turn into
retail. And I think dentistry has gone too far down that route. And... you know.
Why is that
because
happening?
Because somebody said, had an idea that we're going to market it this way, and now it's just gone down that road. I think this is just, I'm pontificating, just my own.
Yeah. Because I like that. I like the scarcity. I like the reciprocal, too, like where you obviously, like, you know, give, and then also urgency.
Right.
Those type of marketings, right, or effect. Because it is true, like, okay, I don't know if it can be to this degree, but say you go to your cardiovascular, right, and then your doctor, and then he's like, oh, yeah, you're going to need to get this work done soon, right, or else a heart attack or whatever can happen. You're going to be like, eh, whatever, right? Yeah. No, I mean, you're going to, like, make the appointments and everything. I just think we don't really see that in dentistry.
I think,
like,
it's because general population too flexible.
Yeah.
You know? Look, you can negotiate. You know, I've had back surgery. I did not go to my surgeon and be like, "How about you do this for $5,000? Not 30."
All right, you got me. You got me.
Fine.
You got it.
That doesn't happen.
I know. Yeah.
And you know, if you tried that, they'd laugh. I think it's just the way that it's just gone. It's become a retail business, and I don't even know if there's any going back from that.
I was going to ask you, can we go back from that or no? If one person is listening, well, obviously people are listening, but I mean, like, they hear this and they're like, I want to start going back. How can you start?
I don't even know.
Well, I think one of the more important things of looking about going back is recognizing the reality of the situation and figuring out what you can do to make things work. So, for example, I saw, I think it was Paul Goodman, the Dental Nachos guy, put a joke about finding a spot where, like, just that basically want a startup wanting to do a fee-for-service in a heavily saturated area already. And so the dream for a lot of dental practices is to be completely fee-for-service. And I think that that's a great dream. But the reality is, like, especially starting out, like, how do you differentiate yourself? A lot of people are looking for their in-network dentist. And so you have to figure out, okay, if you're going to go down that route, you have to be very good at the business side of things, too.
Yeah.
So you're not going to retail, per se, but instead of complaining about, well, crap, my crown fees are cutting by 30% on the PPO, it's like, well, what is that end number? You know, is it $600, $700? Well, how can you be profitable as a dentist doing a $600 crown if that's what your reality is? Or on top of that, you know, probably more real one, if you're doing an occlusal composite and your reimbursement rate is $110 and you're scheduling that appointment for 2 hours, you're going to lose money.
Right? Yeah.
You know, so you need to learn how to be efficient and deal with the real situation. You know, so, like, instead of thinking, I wish is what this could be, I think let's figure out what the reality is, and if you're okay with that reality, figure out how to make it work. And really, instead of just complaining about it, like, okay, like, because I hear that number a lot, like, they're cutting my fee by 30%. I'm like, well, what is your PPO fee for your crown? $1,600. All right. Well, what's 70% of 1,600? Quick math is $900-ish thereabouts. I can figure out. I can tell them how to do a crown at $900 and still make a profit. I could teach them how to do that really easily. You know, that's the reality of
that's true
of running any business. I mean, if you're a club promoter, you know, you figure out how they pay the least amount of money to someone handing out flyers or whatever.
I think you're right. I think a lot of it has to do with also, like, the other, like, bigger corporate dentistry, right?
Yeah,
like,
right. Corporate dentistry. The word "free" always bothered me. I mean, you know, free, like, means there's no value.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And free, and I'm very kind of, patients have asked, how come you don't do free this, free that? I'll say, well, these are the costs for you to walk in the door. If we gave something where for free, where is that money going to come from? Maybe offering orthogonal services, right? It's business. You can't offer something for free and expect to make money. Either something else is going to be suggested, you're going to be sold on something. But we don't do that. That's the reason why we don't offer anything for free, because we don't upsell you on stuff that you may not need.
Yeah,
I can speak on the free thing too a little bit. My dad's a dentist, and we did a free limited exam and x-ray for a while. It was something we did, like a mailer and a website. And what we found was we're getting a lot of new patients from that. Let's just say the number is somewhere around 20 a month from the free limited exam and x-ray coupon. But inevitably, probably 85-90% of them were people that had not been to the dentist in 5 to 10 years and had no money to pay for dental work. They were in a lot of pain, and they wanted to get out of pain. Mm. But the unfortunate part for us is because of how bombed out their teeth were, we were referring a lot of these patients over to the oral surgeon. So it really wasn't, you know, like we were growing our new patient number, but it wasn't our ideal patients.
Yeah.
So we changed our coupon where it's a discount. Now it's $99. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because we were defining what is our ideal patient? Who are we trying to bring in? And one of the things that we defined was we do want people who value value dental health.
Yeah.
And so when you have the difference of $99 versus $100, or excuse me, free, you know, it's still somebody showing that I'm willing to invest something in my mouth to be a patient there. And so we've found that it's a much more educated in the fact that they know that they're going to have to pay, and yeah. they're ready to do other things too. It's been a much better crop of new patients when we switch to that.
This is true though. What you guys say, like, you know what I mean? That's how they're going to show their value. Although free is one of like the strongest words in marketing, just in general, like,
it is.
Anything, right? Like
right.
we see something, optometrist, right? We look at it and we're like, oh, 10% off your exam. On like the flyer or something, are you gonna be like, oh snap, I gotta go, right?
Right.
But if you see like, oh, free exam, you're gonna be like, oh, let me give him a call,
It's
but,
strong,
but you still will get that 90 high percentage of like, oh my gosh, like they keep canceling or they're doing whatever they want. They want more of a bargain. What is this? Who do they think we yeah. are? Right? You're still.
I think there is something to be said about the downfalls of a discount economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's actually books on that, right? Economic wise, but I get it. Even as a consumer, I'm attracted. To free. I can't mm-hmm. help it. It's mm-hmm. just who we are as consumers. So it's a fine balance. I'm not going to say there's a right or a wrong answer, but that's just the reality. That's just my opinion. That you know, the word free is bad.
Yeah, yeah. From a marketing perspective, absolutely. If you can do something that you can do a free something, I think that's good. But think about what you're putting on your schedule in place of with that free offer. So, you know, the biggest thing about dentistry, an exam, like a free new patient exam, is probably going to be an hour-long appointment.
Yeah.
A lot of practices in, like, say, California, where retail is ridiculously expensive, they have three operatories. And so if you put one of those three or they might have two operatories.
Mm-hmm.
So now, all of a sudden, half of your capacity for that hour is completely covered, and you're not going to make money that hour. That's where the difficulty is.
So it's more like, it's kind of like just in general, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we need to stop thinking about like the vanity, like the numbers, you know what I mean? Even when it comes to like social media and all that stuff, right? Now people are like, oh, follows, likes, and I have the most, right? I have the most new patients. So many times people may post like, oh yeah, I got 200 new patients this month. And everybody's asking like, how'd you do it? What'd you do?
You
oh
know
my
what
gosh.
It is? It's other dentists following.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. I didn't mean that. Yes.
Right.
No.
So
no.
You're would I follow a dentist? No. My dentist, who I love, she's my wife. You know,
you're like,
I'd rather follow something else. You know, I'm gonna follow.
Better edit that out.
Joe Rogan.
But
it's true, right? Nobody is gonna think dentists are interesting aside from dentists. You can have the outlier. And here's an example. We had as a patient. We have had literally three patients who have all over 1 million followers on YouTube.
Ooh.
We just have another patient that has. 370,000 subscribers, right, on
mm-hmm.
YouTube. I mean, and these are literally top YouTube people.
Yeah.
And they've
yeah.
been patients.
Wow.
But, you know, everyone's saying you need to capitalize on that. You absolutely need to have them promote for you. But it also is kind of weird. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it because they want to
yeah.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they have to understand that. I think they understand that it's a medical practice. So nobody wants to know what kind of work they're getting done. And we just happen to be in a proximity. We're in California. That's where they are. It just happens to be proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, the people following them are going to be different than the people following a dental office.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Exactly. So many times people are like, how come, like, I'll give you an example, right? Some dentists start an Instagram or something. Then they're like, okay, let's put out our promotion. Free whitening, free lifetime whitening. And I think they think like everybody's just going to rush and say like, oh my gosh. And then they're like, look, we got 20, 30 new followers. Like and it's all like coaches and consultants and marketers or like
yeah.
other dentists.
It's people trying to sell you something.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, nobody hears from your community. Like, I don't even get it. But that's what I think. I think it's all, when it comes to that type, those type of metrics, I think don't really matter at all. at well, no. I know they don't matter at all, right?
No. Well, the question I have on the 200 new patients, how many total patients do they have? You know, like, did they have 200 because they're a brand new office? Well, then 200 new patients, okay, cool. Mm. If that's all of them, yeah. You know, but then on top of that, like, what did they collect from those 200 patients?
Yeah, zero? Yeah, yeah. They're probably, they're, okay, this is the thing, like, because are you guys part of the Making of a Dental Startup group?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you see it when people, like, post that up, right? They're like, oh, I got 200, and then people ask, how'd you do it, and all these things, right? And then from that point on, they give their information, but nobody asks, like, what kind of patients are they? What 200 sounds like you die. Like, I'd be dead working on that every month. You know what I mean?
So you're saying every dentist should post themselves with a bikini or a Speedo to get likes? Because that's how you're going to get it.
Yeah, yeah. Get those likes and stuff. But I feel like that's why the Dental Success Network, if people were to post that up, right, and then you can talk about it openly on there.
Oh. You mean talk about what happens in the DSN outside?
No. Or? So I'm a dentist in the Dental Success Network, and I'm like, how can I get new patients? Somebody says, I just got 200 new patients. I want to ask without anybody else chiming in. Like,
any bias. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything like that.
That's the reality of it. I mean, yeah, just no selling. And even if, like, Kevin's a faculty member, you don't sell in the community.
No, not even
just
once.
Not,
I don't
not
think I've even
allowed.
Put my stuff once.
Yeah, not allowed. You will get kicked out. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. Sorry, Sandy's...
Sandy Pardue.
Sandy Pardue. I'm on Sandy's table. Yeah, I'm on Sandy's table. So she's the one who's like...
Off.
Yeah.
Dental
no, but,
Gumbo.
Yeah, Dental Gumbo. Gumbo
is the new one. It's a great name.
So, gentlemen, last question. Where can people find out more about you guys and...
Yeah. Well, divergentdental.com, that's our website. Or if you want to email me, kevin@divergentdental.com, that's a simple way to get a hold of me.
Yeah, and actually, if you book a demo, chances are you're going to get me. I'm here helping out Kevin, and I'm an analytics geek at heart, but I also, again, run Dental Success Network. That's where you're going to find me. To find me, I'm just michael@dentalsuccessnetwork.com, or actually just go to the website, fill out the application. Every application is vetted. It is reviewed, and we want like-minded people in the community. So we'd love to have you on board and, you know, meet with your peers and answer questions of your cohorts.
Yeah. Awesome. All righty, guys. Thank you so much for
tuning
in, and y'all take care.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys, and we're back. Thank you so much, Michael and Kevin, for being a part of this episode. We truly appreciate it here. I learned a ton. I know at Voices of Dentistry, you guys are super funny. You guys are awesome, man. You guys keep it 100% real, and that's why I like you guys a lot. So thank you so much, guys, listening. If you're listening and you're like, man, I want to reach out to them, go reach out to them. Let them know. Thank you. Michael's the one. If you look at this picture in this episode, he's the one with the like cloud suit on. Michael, what is that? What kind of suit is that? I don't even know what suit is that, man, but good for you for putting it on, man, for having the guts to put it on. And then Kevin, reach out to Kevin as well. They're really open, available for you guys to talk about more things within your dental practice, and definitely reach out to them if you want to be a part of like the Dental Success Network, or if you want Divergent Dental. A couple of my takeaways from this episode: I like how we talk about scarcity, reciprocal, and urgency marketing, right? When to use it, how to use it, what's the best thing to use, and so forth. We also talk about the opinion of getting 100 plus new patients. Like, and you guys hear me say this a lot, like, yeah, you want 200 new patients, but can you even handle it, right? We also talk about the downfalls of a discount economy. And so a lot of the times, right, we're the ones who say, oh, I don't want to give anything for free. But aren't you sometimes attracted to free, right? If not, let me know, right? So definitely pick and choose, right? I'm not saying we all have to. We all don't have to, right? We don't have to give a bunch of free stuff, especially in this industry, right? We don't have to. We don't have to because, we just don't have to. But a lot of the times it does help depending on the demographic or depending on what you want and so forth. So really, really be picky about that aspect, right? And then I like how we talked about how should you reduce patient cancellations? And it's very blunt. There is no answer, right? You will always, always have cancellations, guys. And that's just like, so that goes back to like patient education, what Michael was talking about, right? How how is your patient education and your patient relationship and your customer experience, right? If it's fantastic out of this world, then yeah, your cancellations will probably be pretty minimal. But if you don't even know, like if I ask you how's your patient, like if I were to ask you right now, how's your patient experience? How's your customer experience? And if you're like, great, I guess, then yeah, you have work to do, right? You can reduce your cancellations and last minute, or your no-shows and your last minute cancellations. I like how we talked about you don't want 100% pre-appointment rates, right? You want like about 80 to 85% because of the cancellations and the no-shows, right? In the hygiene department, only 7% of adults are having perio service done. That's insanely low, right? So we talk about how to increase it with better diagnosis, better patient education. So guys, definitely do that. Start tracking your case acceptance and reappointment rates. Track the important things, right? Like that, the case acceptance, because that's your money right there. That's where you know, okay, this is going to happen. This is what's going to bring more production, right, and collection. So definitely do that. Guys, like I said, reach out to Michael and Kevin. Reach out to them if you're interested in Divergent Dental. I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes below, and reach out to Michael if you're interested in DSN, the Dental Success Network. And guys, don't forget about Call Force, okay? Stop missing out on over 30% of opportunities, right? And get this, here's another statistic to throw at you. A patient has a 14% chance of leaving a voicemail. So if nobody's answering those phones, right, you're probably not going to get a voicemail. If anything, you probably will get one, right? So definitely look into Call Force. There's a case study. There's one doctor who in 60 days, a dentist paid $600, but they generated $24,400, right, with using Call Force. And that's amazing, guys. So definitely, I'm going to put a link to the show notes below. Look into Call Force. Mention me. Mention the Dental Marketer Podcast so you guys can get the setup fee waived. And at the same time, you get $100 of free service, right? You can use CallForce for recalls. You can use CallForce for answering services. And yeah, so definitely go on to getcallforce.com or call them at 801-901-8852 and just talk to them. See if they can help you out. They'll point you in the right direction if they can't. And never miss a new patient, guys. Never leave calls unanswered and never be unavailable again. Use CallForce. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I appreciate you. And I'll talk to you soon.